Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Now, Stephanie, most of us send emails to people or we post things on Facebook or Twitter or Line or whatever. So maybe some of us don't even know what it means to actually write a letter to somebody and put a stamp on the envelope.
Well, frankly, it's a lot slower if you send things by snail mail. So, yeah, I email most of the time, but for special occasions, especially for my dad, he loves to get real mail. He doesn't like to use email, so I send him letters. I do like stamps that are pretty, and I think Taiwan has a lot of beautiful stamps.
Sure, and I know here that there are a number of people who like to collect stamps, or they like stamp collecting, which is a popular hobby all over the world. And yes, different governments around the world come out with some really beautiful stamps in different kinds of series and things like that. But hey, you might be wondering, where the heck did the stamp come from? Who thought up this idea? And why do we have them? Well, we're going to try to answer that question today in our article entitled The Story of the Stamp. Let's get to it. Let's read the entire content of our article right now. In the old days, if you wanted to send a letter to someone, you'd hand it to a person heading in the right direction and tell him whom to give it to. That person would then expect to be paid a high delivery fee. Prices were arbitrary, thus the official post office faced many problems trying to manage mail carrying. In the 19th century, Sir Rowland Hill, the British Postmaster General, devised a revolutionary mail system which spread across the world. In his reform, he standardized the cost of sending a letter and made senders pay in advance. To prove that the postage had been paid, a small piece of colored paper was put on a letter or package. These were called stamps, and the very first stamp, the penny black, made its debut in May 1840. People soon discovered and embraced the convenience of stamps. Later, stamps were printed with pictures to commemorate famous people, things, and events. These days, stamps also vary in shape. Most are square or rectangular, but circular, triangular, and even fruit-shaped ones exist. Because of their variety, stamp collecting has become a popular hobby. Enthusiasts can end up spending lots of money amassing their collections, and some stamps are exceedingly valuable. In one interesting case, a printing error created America's inverted Jenny, in which the plane in the picture is upside down, making the stamp rare. Each inverted Jenny is now worth almost $1 million on the market. With their imaginative and varied characteristics, it's not difficult to understand the timeless appeal of the stamps.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. We're going to talk about the history of the stamp. Where did it come from? Who started it? Whose great idea was it? I thought this was really interesting. I've never heard this before, so it's kind of cool to think that someone invented this idea. It's really smart, actually.
Cool.
Well, in the old days, this is long ago in history, if you wanted to send a letter to someone, you'd either have to hand it to the person heading in the right direction and tell him whom to give it to, or maybe not send it at all. So you were actually using like a messenger to get your letter to someone.
Right, and those charges would be arbitrary, which we'll get to. As I said, prices were arbitrary. Arbitrary means they're not according to some kind of standard. Some people do it this way, some people do it another way. It's all based on random choices or personal whim. Whatever the person wants to charge, that's what they charge. There was no standard.
Yeah, you could never be sure of what you'd have to pay based on the messenger you chose. Maybe somebody was just out to make a lot of money, so he would make you pay a lot. And then somebody else would say, oh, sure, that's on my way. I'll do it for you. But there were a lot of people trying to make money in those days, so I'm sure it was pretty expensive to send a letter. Well, the official post office faced a lot of problems trying to manage mail carrying. So that's what the problem was. And so anytime there's something new invented, it's because there was a problem someone saw and they thought, huh, I can fix this. Well, in the 19th century, which means the 1800s, there was a man named Sir Rowland Hill. He was a British Postmaster General. If you're the British Postmaster General, you're in charge of the whole postal agency in Britain, so that's pretty powerful. He devised a revolutionary mail system. If you devise something, you invent it, you plan it, you do something that's kind of difficult or complicated, so it's not easy. So he had to think for a while, and he came up with this great plan.
Yeah, a revolutionary plan. Revolutionary means it's something that is a big change. You could have a revolutionary war, for example, to change a government, or a revolutionary idea, something that someone has not thought of before. And this is an example of that, a revolutionary mail system. And this system spread across the world. Other countries thought, hey, they've come up with a pretty good idea there, so let's adopt that system ourselves. It's spread all over the world.
Well, in his reform, he standardized the cost of sending a letter. Remember we talked about how prices were arbitrary? Well, when you standardize something, you make up a standard and everybody has to follow it. You kind of agree what the rules are, what's proper and acceptable. We have standardized tests that we take to get into universities. Well, he wanted to standardize the cost. Now, when we talk about a reform, this is the noun form, but it can also be a verb. Here it's a noun. It just means the improvement of something by removing some faults or mistakes it has or problems and correcting something so it works better. We've seen countries who try to reform their nation's healthcare systems. Sometimes those reforms work, sometimes they don't. But he wanted to change the way that people mailed letters to friends and family around the country.
Right. We have educational reform, for example, trying to make education work better for everybody. And again, to standardize, to make the cost basically the same for everyone. And also payers, the people who bought the stamps or paid for the postal service, would have to pay in advance. In advance here just means ahead of time. You have to pay first before you receive the service, which I think some people might be reluctant to do. Why should I pay you first? How do I know that you're going to do what you're supposed to do and not just run off with my money?
Yeah, I bet it was a little risky in the early days of this system. But then as it became more established, people could trust that their letters would again be delivered. You know, even I wonder sometimes if a package I send will arrive at all. Sometimes the post office loses packages. That happens. And it's kind of, it's irritating, not to mention expensive because you lose what you sent. Well, to prove that the postage had been paid, this was the great invention. They would put a small piece of colored paper on a letter or a package that was being sent, and that would prove that that package or letter had already been paid for in advance. So that was a great idea.
And then the Postal Service would go ahead and deliver your package or letter. These were called stamps, these little pieces of colored paper that were put on letters or packages. They called them stamps, and the very first stamp was called the penny black. It made its debut in May 1840. I don't have a copy of the finished magazine with us. There may be a picture of the penny black there, but if you're curious, just go into Google there and type in penny black, and you'll see what that stamp looks like. Somebody somewhere has posted it on the Internet. And if you talk about a debut, that means the first appearance of something. And to make your debut means to make your first appearance or do something for the first time. We could also say this stamp came out onto the market way back in May of 1840, almost 200 years ago.
This is the noun form of the word debut. We also use it as a verb. We could say the very first stamp, the penny black, debuted in May 1840. So you don't have to use made its debut. You could simply say it debuted in May 1840. Your debut is like Tom says, the first time you appear. It could be the first time an actor is in a movie or on TV for the first time in their career. It could be the first time a musician performs in public, or it could be the first time an athlete plays in a professional game. So it's the first time somebody does something in the public or for the public. It's kind of a cool moment.
It is a cool moment. You could also say it appeared in May 1840, or you could say it was issued in May 1840. If you issue something, that means you publish something like a stamp or a newspaper or a magazine or a book or something like that. So it came out in May of 1840. Well, of course, after that, it's caught on. It was very popular. People soon discovered and embraced the convenience of stamps. Cool! We don't have to deal with greedy delivery people anymore. The prices are all standard here, and my letter will be delivered, probably 99% of the time. If you embrace something, actually, literally, that means you hold someone closely in your arms.
You hug them.
Right. Your mother will embrace you when you're a baby, for example, as a sign of affection or love. But here to embrace also means that you like this idea, and you accept it, and you just love it.
Yeah, you accept it with a lot of excitement, happiness. You do it readily. They were quite excited about the convenience of stamps. Okay, everybody, before we go on, we're going to listen for a while to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要介绍的是 The Story of the Stamp. 我们首先来看到第一句提到 In the old days, if you wanted to send a letter to someone, you'd hand it to a person heading in the right direction and tell him whom to give it to.以前要寄信，要找到一个往同样方向的人，然后还要告诉他呢，要把这封信给谁。在这里搭配文意，第一题我们可以选 sentence E. That person would then expect to be paid a high delivery fee. 为什么可以选 sentence E 呢？在依据里面的主词 that person 就可以呼应前面一句的 a person heading in the right direction. 那么就回应了第一个空格后面讲到的 prices were arbitrary. 而这样的价钱呢是不一定的。第二段第一句提到 In the 19th century, Sir Rowland Hill, the British Postmaster General, devised a revolutionary mail system which spread across the world. 这个伟大的人物呢他发明了他定出了一个 revolutionary mail system。改革的一套革命性的邮政系统，所以配合这样的文意，这里讲到了 a revolutionary mail system， 搭配这样的句意。第二题我们可以选择 sentence C。In his reform, he standardized the cost of sending a letter and made senders pay in advance. 这里的 reform 指的就是改革，他的改革方法就是为了要统一运费，就要求这个呢寄信人要预付邮资。这里的 pay in advance 预先付钱，又跟后面的句子搭配上，后面句子提到To prove that the postage had been paid. 为了要证明呢，这个邮资已经被付了。A small piece of colored paper was put on a letter or package. 那么证明付了邮资，就会有一张小小的有色彩的纸呢，就会放在这个信或者是包裹的上面。而这张小小的纸呢，我们从 background knowledge 背景知识知道它就是现在的邮票，所以这样子搭配文意。第三题我们就可以选 sentence F. These were called stamps, and the very first stamp, the penny black, made its debut in May 1840. 而这小小张被放在信或者是包裹上面的纸呢，就被称为邮票咯，而第一张邮票就是在1840年所称为的 Penny Black 黑便士的邮票。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue. We talked about how the stamp came to be back in the 1800s in England. They came up with this idea of putting colored pieces of paper on packages and letters so people would know that the postage had been paid, and people liked this idea. They embraced it, and now we have stamps. But, hey, little pieces of colored paper are pretty cute, but maybe we want some more things there. So later on, stamps were printed with pictures to commemorate famous people, things, and events. That makes sense. You don't need to just have a blank little piece of paper there. Let's put pictures on them, and maybe people will buy them as collector's items. To commemorate means you remember something and you show respect to someone or something as a way of recognizing the great thing that they did. Oftentimes, you will see people commemorate events, like maybe the Olympics are taking place in your country, so they will issue special coin sets, gold coins, to commemorate the Olympics.
Or sometimes they'll even build statues for people to commemorate their lives and what they did for the country. So they've got all these stamps that got cool pictures on them of famous people, of things, events. These days, stamps also vary in shape. So most of them, as you know, are square or rectangular, but they also say that we have circular or triangular stamps. Even fruit-shaped ones exist. I haven't seen any of those. Circular. I've never even seen a stamp that's in the shape of a circle.
Sounds
circular
weird,
means in the shape of a circle, and rectangular is in the shape of a rectangle, and triangular means in the shape of a triangle. A rectangle, of course, is a four-sided shape, but two of the sides have shorter lines than the other two. Circle, as you know, is just a round shape. Triangle has three lines that are all the same length. It's kind of a cool shape. Fruit-shaped ones. Have you seen stamps that look like fruit?
No, but I'd certainly like to. I could imagine stamps shaped like cherries or grapes or bananas or oranges. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd probably even be tempted to take a bite out of the corner of that envelope if I'm hungry enough.
Do you know what'd be funny is to put the scent of the flavor of that fruit on the part where you lick.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
In America, we lick the back of our stamps. I know it's humid in Taiwan, so you guys use glue.
People still lick stamps in the States?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Really?
Yeah. Well, now they sell them on sheets that have adhesive, which is a kind of glue on them. But, yeah, you can still lick stamps.
Yeah, I haven't licked a stamp in years. After I came to Taiwan, I think I knew somebody who licked some stamps and put them on an envelope, and, of course, they all fell off.
They fell off, yeah.
And so you have to use the glue to do that, which keeps the stamps away from your tongue. Makes sense. You might not get sick that way. And because of their variety, stamp collecting has become a popular hobby. Stamp collecting is a big hobby. There's a postal museum down there on Chongqing Nanlu here in Taipei that I'm sure a lot of people go to. There are nearby stores that sell stamp collecting supplies, so it's not as big a hobby as it used to be, but it's still around. Do you collect stamps at all? Collect anything, like coins or?
I collect pigs.
Pigs? Uh-huh. Real pigs?
No, things that are look like pigs. I have a pig hat.
Oh,
I have a pig in the shape. It's the shape of a pig, but it's made out of jade. It's kind of cool.
Well, you won't admit to this, but is that because you were born in the year of the pig?
No, it's because when I was in college, I would snort a lot when I laughed, like...
So
it just became something I collected.
Okay.
Yeah, if I laugh too much. No, I don't collect stamps, but I remember when I was here the first time in Taiwan, I thought the stamps were gorgeous. So I would keep the ones that I really liked, but I've never really collected them.
Well, some people do, and they can spend a lot of money amassing their collections. To amass means to put things together in order to have a lot of those things. Gather together or accumulate things. You could amass a lot of experience, for example, if you go overseas to study or work in a company overseas. That will give you a lot of experience to put on your resume.
You can amass a small fortune if you work really hard and save your money. Well, they spend lots of money gathering together these huge collections, and some stamps are exceedingly valuable. Exceedingly here is an adverb, which means very or extremely. I would like to say that The summers in Taiwan are exceedingly hot.
They are
yes,
indeed.
Yes, they are. Well, if it's valuable, of course, it's worth a lot of money.
Right. Exceedingly, of course, is an adverb. It's a, describing the word are here. To be exceedingly valuable, to be extremely valuable, worth a lot of money.
It's actually modifying valuable.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, in any case here, we've got one interesting case or example of a very valuable stamp. We have a printing error which created America's inverted Jenny. And in that stamp here, we've got a plane in the picture that is upside down. And that, of course, has resulted in the stamp being incredibly rare. So if you invert something, that means you change it from one position to its opposite position, usually to put something upside down. Or something that is right side up to make it upside down, etc., to invert it. So this was a picture of an airplane, and it's actually upside down in the stamp.
Yeah, and upside down is the same as inverted. It just has the top at the bottom and the bottom at the top. And that made the stamp rare. A lot of times when things are produced or manufactured with mistakes in them, they automatically turn very valuable in some people's minds. They're collector items, things that people want to collect. And it's kind of a cool thing to have an airplane, I guess, that's inverted on the stamp. Each inverted Jenny, the sample of this mistakenly created stamp, is now worth almost $1 million on the market. That's Ooh. Crazy.
It is crazy.
Wow.
And I think based on our research before the program, there are only 100 of those stamps in existence. And so if you have one, hey, you're going to be rich real
wow.
quick. Although $1 million will be spent pretty quickly, so you better invest wisely if you have one of those stamps or hold on to it. Maybe the value will increase in the future. Well, with their imaginative and varied characteristics, it's not difficult to understand the timeless appeal of the stamps or of stamps. If something's imaginative, that means it involves a lot of creativity or imagination. Imaginative. Hey, that person is very imaginative. He can come up with really great ideas.
Mm-hmm. New ideas, interesting ideas, things that other people would never think of. It's kind of great if you're imaginative. You're probably an artist if you are. They also will have varied characteristics. So they're not all the same. Characteristics are special things that make up what you are. People have characteristics. Some people are very honest and fun to be around. It's not just personality. It's kind of who they are. So it's not difficult to understand why stamps are just really popular. They have a timeless appeal. Timeless means it never changes, and your appeal is some sort of quality that makes people like you or like something else. There's a lot of appeal to sports for people because they can go and relax and enjoy themselves.
See, for me, it's like I don't understand the appeal of baseball. It's so slow and it's so boring. How can people watch that for 2 or 3 hours at a time?
Yeah, and for me, you know, Tom seems to like cycling, you know, watching it on TV. Oh, my gosh, that's boring. So everybody's different. Other things appeal to you that don't appeal to your friends, perhaps. So, but for a lot of people, they still love stamps and stamp collecting.
Yes, so this is timeless appeal. Lots of people are interested in stamps. I know a friend here in Taiwan, Mr. Lee. He collects stamps, and I asked him, hey, what's the appeal of stamp collecting? I've never collected stamps before. Why do people do it? And he said, oh, I just like them because they're small and detailed little things that you can collect, and you can go to conventions and, you know, change and trade stamps.
Oh, he trades,
like
huh?
I guess.
Huh.
I haven't seen him in a long time. I actually don't know what happened to him. I think he went to the mainland to try to sell art or something like that, but that was years ago. But in any case here, that's the appeal of stamps. They're pretty, and you can collect them. You can look for rare ones, and you can invest in them and perhaps make some money in the process. Okay, everybody? Hey, before you rush down to your local post office to buy the latest set of stamps, we'd like you to stay tuned and listen to our Chinese teacher.
在下一段里面就提到了，人们就会觉得邮票非常的方便，而且是大方的接受它。在第四个空格前面的这一句提到 ，These days stamps also vary in shape。它的意思就是说呢，到了现在你会看到邮票其实它的形状也会不同，是不一样的。 而这里谈到了邮票的形状搭配文意，第四题我们可以选择 Sentence A， 提到 Most are square or rectangular but circular, triangular and even fruit-shaped ones exist。大部分呢都是正方形或者是长方形，也会看到 circular 圆形， triangular 三角形，甚至还有 fruit shaped 水果形状的邮票，就可以搭配前面提到的 vary in shape。 所以第四题答案就选择 A。 再来下一段，中间提到 enthusiasts can end up spending lots of money amassing their collections, and some stamps are exceedingly valuable. 我们都知道有些集邮的热衷爱好者，这些人我们就称为 enthusiasts， 这种热衷的人，他们会花大把大把的钞票呢来累积收集他们的收藏。这里的 amass 就是有积累跟收集的意思。而正因为如此，你会发现有些邮票真的是 exceedingly valuable， 非常的有价值。配合这样子的文意，讲到有价值的邮票，第五题我们可以选择 Sentence D。 In one interesting case, a printing error created America's inverted Jenny, in which the plan in the picture is upside down, making the stamp rare。其中一个有趣的例子呢，就是这个叫做 Inverted Jenny 的邮票，因为印刷错误，里面的飞机啊是颠倒过来，所以变成是相当稀有的。而也因为第五题选 Sentence D， 后面的句子就补充说明 Each Inverted Jenny 现在的价值呢是有$1,000,000，就呼应到前面非常昂贵的邮票了。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. This is really fun to learn about where things come from. If you want to see some cool stamps, check out the magazine and the pictures, and also get on to the internet.
That's right. That's where you can see pictures of stamps, and you don't have to go out to buy them. From all of us here at English Digest, my name is Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.